here on earth. To this end, Father, we do pray in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, first of all, tomorrow begins the School of Evangelism in Denver. And I told you last week that they have decided, this is the Billy Graham Association, has decided to use the Gospel for Christians. And if everything goes okay, then it looks like that they'll just use it in all of their evangelistic schools. So that'll be going on in Denver 23 through 26. So please be in prayer in regard to the Holy Spirit's use of the Gospel for Christians and opening their eyes in that respect. Also, please continue to be in prayer for Christina Stock as she continues to recover. I got in late last night, did not have time to go, not real late, but late enough, and my traveling was just horrendous. They lost my luggage going to Miami, had to bring it in the middle of the night. They lost my luggage coming here, had to bring it last night at 1:30, and all the times I've traveled, but this time it seemed like starting in Miami, all the computers broke down, and the airport was just a mess. And so then I got to Houston, and the flights were canceled, and so to come at a hookup in Houston to come to here. But anyway, let's continue to be in prayer for Christina. I'm going to try to go by and see her this afternoon. And so we'll continue to be in prayer. Now, things out of week, is there anything we need to be in prayer about? Anything happen that we need to know about and be in prayer? Okay. Let me talk a moment, if I may, about the... I want to read something to you here. Yes. No? Not it. Had it in my hand. Yeah. Talk about Miami. It was just fabulous. The response of the people, the Haitian pastors that came, the Haitian people. I would say the church is probably about our size, maybe a tad larger, but it was filled, and the people were just, they were just so receptive and so responsive to every night, things that we went through that maybe they know maybe about it, that they did not believe that way or something and had to give up some list or something, but they weren't, you know, angry or anything, or I'm not going to, you know, you're wrong. It was, we believe this way, what are you doing, and why is that, and we'd go through passages, we'd look at things, and yeah, okay, we see that. And so each night it just got just really better and better. Friday night was just highly emotional and a lot of fun. Another little added thing, a couple of things happened. Like one, there was a colonel in the past who had to leave the Haiti. Now this was some time ago, I think 10 years, but don't quote me on that. Had to leave Haiti because of a coup, and ended up there in Miami with the Haitian people, and a businessman now and his family. Well, one of his, I guess it was his sister, goes to LaGrange Church, and they asked LaGrange to come over Monday night, which would be the second night. I thought Sunday night, last Sunday night, and then Monday night kind of officially started the series of the study. And he was telling me, I said, go, absolutely, we'll be in prayer. But anyway, the colonel and his wife and his family were not Christians, and this lady wanted so much for them to, wants to just privately and personally hear the gospel. So LaGrange went over, and we had some prayer time Monday together and all, and he went over Monday night, and the colonel, his wife, his father, mother's deceased, and sister, two other people, all accepted Jesus Christ as Savior that night. Now there was one that did not, forgot the relative, connection, maybe a cousin that was there, but she was not, also she just, I'm not ready, and so, And that's okay. LaGrange was kind of really disappointed, and I said, no, that's good. It's just let her work her way through, and we'll be there. You be there. She wants to talk, but that happened. And then we went to another thing that happened to this man, just wonderful things going on there. 2 weeks ago, man walks into his church, stranger to them, and he comes into the church, and that Sunday accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. And he came up to the Bella Graham, the pastor, and he said, this is just such a marvelous thing in my life. He's an older man. I would say Matthew is probably 55 to 65. It's difficult sometimes to tell their ages for me, anyway. And he said, this is just so wonderful. He said, I talked to the manager. And we would like for you to come and speak on the radio between 12:15 and 1 o'clock every day, free, Monday through Friday. I mean, what a great opportunity. It's over the whole state of Florida, some of the islands, and in the surrounding states. So I spoke Monday on the radio station. It gave me about 10 minutes. And then Tuesday, about 15 minutes. Wednesday, 45 minutes, and Thursday and Friday, 45 minutes. And one of the, I think it was Wednesday or Tuesday, one of those 2 days, another Haitian radio station called up, and some of their people had been listening Monday and Tuesday. So it had to be Tuesday afternoon. And they wanted to know if they could hook into it and broadcast the same deal at that time on their station. And, of course, absolutely. And so we had a great week. Well, the owner of the station where we were, which was 25 years ago, it was the first all-Haitian radio station in Miami. Now there's about 45 of them. But at that time, there was just this one. And he came to the station. He'd been listening at home and stuff. And he told LeGrain, I want to come Sunday morning to your church. This is the things you believe. I've never heard these things like that. And if you believe what this man's been teaching, I want to be there. And so this morning, and I've already been in prayer because of course, now it's 11. Well, he's just now kind of getting into it, 11:10. So we need to be in prayer for them. So he's going to be there. And as the week went on, I guess it was Friday, he told him Wednesday or Thursday he wanted to come. Friday he came up and said, how about if we broadcast live your Sunday morning service? Free, we'll just do it. And we'll bring all the stuff, we'll do everything. And what a great opportunity. And the Bell is just seeing it more and more. It's such a joy to be able to have lunch with him each day and talk and go through things. And it was just, so we got to do that. We went through, I made sure, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we had Salvation One solidified. And then we moved to the pattern, a little bit of Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, of moving into Salvation Two, Spiritual Love by Faith and things. And I guess Friday they got a lot of calls. We did Spiritual Love, Loving as Christ Loved. And what a great opportunity for this man to be able to do that every 5 days a week and free. And it usually costs $250, I think one man said. They did a 30-minute show. Used to do their business, and that's what it cost them for 30 minutes. So, and they gave it to him free. That was just really superb. And they're getting it, and I know that the Friday night, it's not our thing, so we have to deal with people, and please have that spiritual love attitude. Maybe I'm talking more to myself than to you, but it's kind of important to them to be encouraged. So they gave certificates to pastors and maybe missionaries, people that were there, to evangelists and that type of thing. If they came every night and then they had a test Friday to see if they were picking it up. And I could tell by LeGrain's question. He asked me to do the question. I said, no, you work them up. And it was just so cool. He said, okay, what's the first book of the Bible written? I got that. He said, now, what is the final message of Job? How does the book of Job leave us? And if you remember, how can man be justified before God? How can man be holy? What he said, most everyone of them are hopeless. And then the next question was, and what does the New Testament, the rest of the Old Testament tell us in the answer? and they put down, you know, God is going to provide the way out of his love. And it was just, you could tell by the questions he asked that he was seeing what we were doing with the whole flow of the Bible and the teaching of what we were doing that this week and the last time I was there. So it was just really superb. And last night was, or excuse me, Friday night was just, it was a tremendous night. Usually we're through by about 8:45, starting at 7. Tonight we didn't get out of there until about after 10. They had some food fellowship, a lot of singing, and different people would come up and just, you know, express what my teaching meant to them. I mean, I tell you what, I walked away, wow, I mean, I'll just stay with y'all, but man, alive. And it was just a real, it was a wonderful night, and the singing and all that went on, and a lot of young people, and the young people were there every night. And in fact, one night, Thursday night, I guess it was, a young gal was there. She was 17, and you could tell she was she was a very beautiful gal, and but she was just dressed very modern. Her hair was modern hairdo as opposed to the, most of the others. And 17th birthday, and she was there at the church worshiping. So that was really wonderful. In fact, that was Friday night. That was not Thursday night. Friday night. He gave me this before I left. It says, Spring Valley Bible Church. Dear beloved, the Haitian Christian community wants first of all to praise the Lord and to thank you for sharing, I hate to read this word, but anyway, sharing your famous beloved pastor. Yeah, famous, right. Your beloved pastor with us as a Bible teacher and professor. We are extremely blessed by his presence because you send him to us. You receive freely from the Lord, and you share freely from the Lord. They have a heaviness about not being able to pay for the hotel and the air, and I just said no. As long as the people are home, it's just fine. So don't worry about it. So that's what he's referring to. In that respect, you receive freely from the Lord and you share freely from the Lord. All the state of Florida has heard the gospel through radio ministry, his teaching this week. Thank you. Next time, add yourself to our teacher, Herman, and come to Miami and see for yourself. Sincerely, LeGrain. And the one that he wrote to me, these things are all important to these people. They're not important, I guess, in my background and all. He writes a letter to the Billy Graham Association, which is how we first met, just letting them know things that are going on, which is very good. And the letters, certificates, these kinds of things are very important to these people. In fact, they gave me a certificate in teaching. This one just says, Reverend Teacher Herman Mattis, dear beloved, New Bethany Baptist Church is so grateful for this blessed week devouring your teaching. It has been a great blessing to have you among us. We are very thankful to you and your entire family and congregation. Thank you for allowing the Lord to use you in this way. You are making disciples of the Lord of all of us. And we are sure that he will continue to pour his blessing on you and on your teaching. Sincerely, LeGrain. So this is just read those to you because one was for you. So they want me to go to Haiti in 2002. I told him, well, we'll have to see about that and be the primary speaker. He has a big, he is from the island of Haiti, as I told you, and has a ministry in the island of Haiti. And so, in fact, a lot of people come over to start there and at his church and all. And so we'll just have to see how that goes. Next time I go there, they want me to stay 15 days. But it is wonderful to teach them. And it's just a real blessing to see their response, know that they're getting it, tell by their questions, tell by the response, everything in, that's going on there. It is really a wonderful thing. He asked me if I would go to other Haitian communities throughout the United States. And I told him, I said, if I'm asked and everything can be worked out, yeah. So anyway, I wanted to share all of that with you in that respect. We're going to Tulsa and Tucson pretty soon, but not real soon, and I'll have to get the dates off my calendar and give those to you so that you'll know. I don't think they'll be gone on a Sunday on any either of those, but I'll let you know on both of those when they're going to occur and in that respect. Okay. Any questions about Miami, things that went on? I have a gal there, name is Leah. She sings, and her husband plays the keyboard. Pastor LeGrain plays the piano, too. Her baby's husband plays the keyboard. And she's not like a director, a choir or congregational director, but she just comes up with two or three other ladies and just, boy, by just standing there, gets everybody going. Like if I were to have Christina Scott sing, it pulls, yeah, this is what she does here. And it's just a joy to watch her. She just lets it go, and they're not charismatic, but boy, they know how to worship. And they sing in some songs. Some of their hymns are in English. Some of them are in the Creole. And while I don't know the Creole, I know the hymn because it's in the same beat and music that ours is. And so I'll sing along in English. But they really got going. Friday night was just a wonderful night. Over 3 hours of some really fun time of worship. So be in prayer for them. Be in prayer for what's going on this morning as he's going to go out over the radio this morning. Give him a wonderful opportunity. And people, the more he sees the truth of salvation by faith in Christ, which he knew, and now he's pretty solidified in regard to faith, the pattern is set. And that's how you are going to be filled with the Spirit. And he says so. And we work through repentance and saw things about it. And they're just so willing, I misunderstood. He said, I misunderstood repentance. And he said, this is very good. This makes very good sense. And it just is a wonderful thing. And so let's be in prayer for what's happening in Miami right now on the radio. And what's going on? Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the opportunity of this assembly in Dallas to be able, Father, to minister and to be a part of what's going on with the community and the Haitian community in Miami, and especially right now, Father, as we speak and as we pray this morning. This message going out over the radio, Father, pray that you'll be with LeGrain, that he will continue to have his eyes open, that he will not be taken back away from understanding and seeing that all that you want is faith. He will present this gospel, Father, for Christian and non-Christian over the radio, and he'll just take this message and use it to your glory, Father. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. So, again, I'm where we are, but look at what God is using this assembly, and very, very excited about that, very happy about that. The word of God declares whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give not grudgingly nor of necessity, for God loveth a gracious giver. All of you here this morning know all the principles in regard to giving. We give responding to, as the Lord has prospered, responding to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So let's continue to be appreciative for the opportunity that God gives us as we prepare for the offertory. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for what you're doing with this small assembly. And Father, we just pray you continue to do it. We know it's the message. We know it's not the messenger. We know, Father, that the opportunity and the privileges that you give us. And Father, we just pray that we will make ourselves available whenever you desire to use us. Pray, Father, that you will receive therefore these offerings and use them to bring honor and glory to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords, even Jesus Christ our Savior. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. It's going to be difficult, I know. Yeah. Thank you, Wes. I tell you what, Wes, I'm very thankful that you see the truth and decide to worship with us. All right, let's open the scriptures to the Gospel of John, chapter 5. I know we've taken, one might say, too long in this chapter, but this is, I've just seen things this time in 5 that are related to the whole Bible in that sense. So let's continue to see what's going on in the Gospel of John, chapter 5. First of all, let's just pray that the Spirit will open our eyes and cause us to see the things that He would have us to see in this section of Scripture. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity and the pleasure of coming together this morning to open the Scriptures, Father, to be in prayer in regard to the things that you would have us to see, Father. We pray that the Spirit will open our eyes that we might see these things. Pray that the powers of darkness will be held back from interrupting and seeing what you would have us to see, Father. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, we're going to put together these last few verses in a way that we haven't seen because they're not a smoothly flow. There's not a smooth flow of what's going on. Now, the first thing, let's note the condition of not only the religious crowd, the religious leaders, but really most of Israel. This really is the condition of most of all Israel at this time, and why they are going to go out into diaspora, scattered all over the world, and are really not the primary player in the plan of God and what you and I understand as the church. Here is their condition and what brought them to this point that they are in. First of all, in verse 38, you do not have His word abiding in you. Now, we didn't spend a lot of time. We spent a little time on His word. We're going to have to spend some time on that phrase, the word of God, and what that phrase means in Revelation. It's just, I've been doing some work on it. There's a lot of things I'm trying to get, not completely tied down, but get the handle on before we even open the book, because it says that in Revelation, His name is the word of God. But not everybody knows His name. And just because you know that's His name still doesn't mean you know His name. And I'll show you that when we get into the text. But when it says you do not have His word abiding in you, that is, one, they have rejected the witness of God the Father Himself. Secondly, they have rejected the word of the Father. And remember what the word of God is. That's Jesus Christ. Why? Because God said, I will make man holy, pure, righteous, all the things in Job that said you can't do, and I will do it alone. And then, at the strategic time of the Gospels, what are the Gospels about? God keeping His word. God doing it and doing it alone. So it's not only a matter that Jesus is the Son of God, but it is so important that we understand why He's the Son of God. So the first condition in verse 38, you do not have His word abiding in you. Second condition, verse 38, you do not believe in Jesus Christ. You do not believe that this Jesus is the Messiah. The third thing, verse 40, you are unwilling to come to Him. Unwilling. You will not come to Him. Remember why they're unwilling to come to Him. Because they believe that they gain eternal life just by knowing the Scriptures. That's how they don't need to come to Jesus Christ. And then the next one, the fourth one, verse 42, you do not have the love of God in you. They do not have Jesus Christ. They do not have the Holy Spirit. And then the fifth thing said about them, in verse 43, you do not receive me. And we spent some time on how do we receive Him. We receive Him by faith, and we work through that a little bit. All right, verse 43. I have come in my Father's name, that is, in my Father's authority, my Father. And remember that that's what caused the Jews to hate Him all the more and finally deciding they wanted to kill Him, calling Himself God His Father and making Himself equal with God. That's when they finally decided, we got to kill Him. We got to get rid of this guy. You are, so he says, tell me my Father's name, that is his authority, his purpose, and you do not, see, that kind of phrase is very important. The Father's name, whatever you ask in my name, I will give you. Well, what does that mean? If we just tag on Jesus' name on every prayer? God, let me win the lottery in Jesus' name. Oh, well, now God's got to do it because I did it in Jesus' name. No, not what it means. That kind of phrase is very important. Don't just speed, Evelyn Wood speed read by that. That's a very technical and very important phrase, in my Father's name, authority, purpose. And you do not receive me. That is, they refuse to believe in him. Now, if another shall come in his own name, you will receive him. If another shall come. This is aorist, active, subjunctive. Here come I, to come to present himself as the Messiah. Aorist tense, ultimately the Antichrist. In the middle of the tribulation, actually even before, but the middle, he presents himself, the false Messiah, the other Christ, not anti-against, but the other Christ, another Christ. So he presents himself as the false Christ, the other Christ, presents himself as Christ, and they're going to run to him. They will receive him. And he says, if he comes in his own name, that is in his own authority, not the authority of God, but in his own authority, you will receive him. In fact, the Greek is very emphatic here, letting us know he is talking about someone. He has someone in mind. That one you will receive. So Christ has a specific one in mind, the Antichrist, the future tense. In the tribulation, that one you will receive. You will believe there is the Messiah, and you will follow that one. Whereas now, you will not receive me. I come in my Father's authority. Not good enough. But somebody's going to come in the future in their own authority, and you, not that particular people standing there, but you, this type of thinking, Jews, and by the way, Gentiles, you're going to receive the Antichrist. You're going to follow him. He's the Messiah. He's the one. So Israel rejects the true Messiah, but they're later going to have the opportunity in the tribulation to embrace to reject the false Messiah. And what will they do? They rejected the true Messiah, they'll embrace the false one. They'll run to the false Messiah as theirs. He does not come in the Father's authority, but his own authority. And there are going to be believers who will go to him to set himself up by his statement. Let's note a few things. One, they will not receive or believe in the true Messiah. They will not receive, that is, believe in the true Messiah. But they're going to receive the false one. You will receive him, but not me. Okay, point two. I don't think I have it in the order I got here. These are the main things I want to point out in a moment. Point two. Who's the issue? The issue is, who is the true Jesus? He is the true Messiah. He's the issue. Recognizing the true Messiah, recognizing the true Savior. Point three. Their problem, the Jewish crowd, at this time, the time of Jesus speaking, and in the middle of the tribulation, when the false Messiah presents himself, their problem is not the want of witnesses. Their problem is not the want of somebody teaching them the truth. God the Holy Spirit, in just chapter 5, witnesses of who the Messiah is, that he is Jesus, or Jesus is the Messiah. God the Father, Scripture, all bear witness. But the Isaiah 28 principle, they would not listen. They would not listen. But they have all these witnesses, so they are not without excuse. They have plenty of witnesses, but they would not listen. And then fourth, and this is what is crucial here, this is what's crucial, rejection of Jesus Christ prepares the way for the acceptance of the false Messiah. Rejection of Christ prepares the way of the false Messiah, the Antichrist, the imposter. And then as I have it here, point three up here, rejection of truth always prepares the way for the acceptance of what is not true. And often what is not true is taken from the Bible, though. And we saw this in our study already in this passage. Once you believe that faith is not the way to be saved, that just faith in Jesus is not the way to be saved, people, you set yourself up. If it's not by faith in Jesus, then what is it? You set yourself up. I'm going to find something else. So the moment we reject truth, you're ready to follow something else. The moment you decide, we do not recover from sin as Christians by faith. Faith alone and faith only. If you reject that, then you set yourself up. Then how? So you go out, you start your search. How am I going to find out then? Because I don't believe it's by faith. I don't believe you're saved by faith. I don't believe you're restored by faith. So you set yourself up now to be the receiver and accepting what is not true. So rejection of truth always prepares the way for the acceptance of what is not true. It's got to, because you're saying no to this, which is truth. So if it's not that, then what is it? It's got to be something else. So once you believe that we do not have to, that we're not saved by faith, or we do not live by faith in the Holy Spirit, then you're ready to follow man, not truth, and teaching. That will be from the Bible. People, they are these deceptive things are in the Bible. And you're ready for them. Why are you ready for them? Because you've already accepted the fact that it's not by faith. Now verse 44. How can you even believe when you receive glory from one another and do not seek the glory that is from the one and only God? Note a lot of things as we just hit the highlights here, and then we'll take the verse apart. Note things that are going on here. Note, first of all, that they're involved with one another in that respect. They do not seek the glory that is from God, the one and only God. Note that Jesus Christ keeps going back to the Father in this deal. The Father. He keeps going back to that. And very important to the Jews here. Very important to us. What did we study in Galatians? That once you accept Christ as Savior, you are what? You're no longer a servant. And it's going to be important in Galatians. Revelation. You're no longer a servant. One of the things that I'm going to show you in dealing with where I think the tribulation is, or the rapture is, why it's before the tribulation ever begins. It's going to be because of things going on in the text. You and I are not servants. That does not mean that sons do not serve the Father, but we're not called servants. You are no longer servants. You're sons. You and I are sons in Christ. You and I are joint heirs. And the Spirit is in you, Galatians tells us. And what? So that you call Him Father, Abba, Father. This is our relationship with Him. And here Jesus Christ keeps appealing to the Jews in regards to what the Father, God, is doing. What God is doing. And you won't even listen to Him. You don't seek His glory. Though you claim you do, you really do not. Now, with verse 44, now you've got to think with me here, let's see if the Spirit can show us what's going on in the text. This is the smooth flow of what's going on. In verse 44, we have the completion of the problem of verse 41 and 42. Now let me show you what I mean. Look please at verse 41 and 42. I, Jesus Christ, do not receive glory from man. And if you recall, what we would have expected was, but I know you that you do receive glory from man. But that is not what Jesus Christ said. Not there. There he said, you do not have the love of God in you. So he goes from accepting he does not accept glory to that they do not have love. So Christ is drawing our attention to something because we didn't expect that. We didn't expect that. We expected, but you receive glory from man. But he didn't say that there. Now he says it. Now he completes that thought. Because one of their problems is that they do receive glory from man, and that keeps them. But he's making another point, and he did it in such a way that would draw our attention to it. When you read or listen, sometimes things are said, or you read something, or maybe a music, a note or something. That was off. That was not right. That doesn't flow. There's not a logic to it. I don't know about you, in both high school and college that I went to, the flow of thought. You sometimes get on a paper, no transition from this paragraph to this paragraph, this thought to this thought. How did you make your jump? And teachers of English and thought want you to be able to carry and make a thought progress. And you can't just, when you're writing something, and just, you know, you throw in things. And that's what happens in the Bible often. You're reading along and boom, you get some, teachers would get the writers of Scripture a bad grade often. But so when this happens, we want to say, time out, what's going on? Because the Holy Spirit has purposefully jolted our thought process here. So I do not receive glory from man, but I know you do. Not a problem. We read right through that. I do not receive glory from you, but I know you do not have the love of God. Oh, what does that have to do with not receiving glory? And so we dealt with that. Now he picks it up so far to let us know that is part of what's going on. So he completes the thought. Now, in verse 44, how can you believe? Now, here's how we come to him. Receive him, come to him, and that's by faith. That's what he tells us here. How? By believing. How can you believe? So that's how can you come to me? How can you receive me? Here's the answer to that question, by faith. Now, the Greek interrogative here introduces a question. But as you know by now, there are several classifications of questions in the Greek. There are questions that ask to seek information, just to seek information, not here. There are questions in the Greek that are given in such a way they demand a positive answer, or the question demands a negative answer. That's not what's going on here. There are questions that are asked, but not for information, not with yes or no in mind. The speaker already knows the answer. These sometimes are called rhetorical questions. They are asked for effect. They don't even expect an answer. They're asked for effect. They're asked in such a way as to jolt the hearer to think about it. And that's what he's doing here. Alright, you've got to think your way through. Sometimes we will do this in our discussions with one another, husbands and wives. Sometimes we will ask a question, and it doesn't demand an answer. It's asked to jolt the person for its effect of the question. And so it's sort of an indictment against these people. How can you believe? Present passive indicative of dunamai. That is, how can you receive the power, the ability? How can you receive the ability or the power? Now, I'm not going to take the time this morning, but there is a great battle in regard to faith. Why do some people have it? Why do some people not have it? Why will this one, Jesus Christ said, think they are come to bring unity, nay, rather division? Two will be in the field, one will be taken, another left. Think that I come to bring unity? A husband will believe, the wife won't, a father will, a son won't, the daughter will, mother won't, these kinds of things. And sometimes you might ask if somebody in your family or someone you love, why do I see and why do they not? Or why do some people see and why do some others not see? Well, there's a lot of answers that go on in regard to this theological question, and often used as a wonderful thing to spend a couple of hours arguing with somebody. And that I just engage in. I just don't do it anymore. And I'm so pleased with getting out of that. That's my nature, debate. But I just don't get involved in all of that. But this helps us in understanding the answer to that. Why do some believe and why do some not believe? There are a lot of answers. Here's one. How can you possibly believe? How can you even come to faith, see, when your whole desires and your whole motivation in life has nothing to do with faith in Jesus Christ or in the Holy Spirit? You're not even in the mental way of doing it. of coming to believe. So if we were going to go that route, this is a very good verse to discuss why some will believe and why some will not believe. It's like the Matthew 15 that deals with why he spoke in parables, and that some will not believe, some not hear and believe. So there are a lot of reasons that are going on. And here's just another reason as to why someone you may run into will not believe. They might be religious. They might be heathenistic, if I can use those two as contrast, even though a religious person is a heathen in that true sense. But they're just not going to. And this helps us in understanding that whole debate and discussion, why some will believe and why some will not believe. How can you believe? And so it's asked for their effect. How can you believe? Present, passive, indicative. We have the word now. You have the, see the word can? That's an important word, and it's in the Greek. It's in the can believe is not in the word believe itself. If you have the word can, it's the word dynamite, power, or ability. How can you receive the inner ability to believe? This is what's going on. How can you even receive it when you see glory from man and not from God? And this is part of that whole thing that we've looked at once, and I think we need to look at it one more time before we leave this chapter, and that is this whole process of faith that we study. So let's just look at it one more time. I gave you a handout on it, but let's go through it one more time, the process of faith as it has developed in John 5. First of all, you desire a blessing from God. Context, eternal life. Application, restoration, or spiritual life, sanctification for us. Second, how are you going to get that blessing from God? I want salvation. I want eternal life. Context, I want to be restored from sin. Second question, how are you going to receive that blessing from God? Point three, you make up your mind, first of all, not by faith alone. It is not going to be by just simple faith. That can't be. I'm not going to be saved. I'm not going to receive eternal life simply by faith. I'm not going to be restored from sin simply by faith. So that's the first thing you do. Four, if not by faith alone, then how? Now, by the way, we can insert right here, why not by faith alone? This is where we come in, why not faith in our passage, but I want to come back to that. Now, point four, if not by faith alone, then how? What do we have? Your search begins. The search now begins. It's not once you believe it's by faith, the search is over. It's going to be by faith in Jesus Christ. It's going to be by faith in the Holy Spirit. Boom. The search is over. But if I say no, salvation, restoration is not by faith alone, now I've got to go find out what it is. And that's where you come up with your denomination. And various men who come along in history and have lead movements. And there are things that happen through history. Why all these different movements and denominations? We have the secret. It's not by faith, but you stay with us. And you've got to stay with us. There's one way the denominations keep their control. Boy, don't you get away from us. We've got the secret right in here. And if you go away from us and go somewhere else, you're going to lose it. And some of you even say you're going to lose your salvation. You're going to lose this. You're going to lose that. Boy, bad things are going to happen because we've got it right here. And that's how they keep people controlled and fear, keep people from thinking, allowing the Spirit to open their eyes to things. They're afraid because of the teaching that gives them this fear. Traditionally, I'm not picking on them. Traditionally, the Romans are good at this. Very good at this. You leave us, boy, and you've walked away from the truth, and you're going to lose this. You're excommunicated. Great fear tactic. You're gonna die this horrible death, and God's going to separate from you. On and on and on. See? People, once you believe it's by faith, nobody can control you now. Nobody can put fear in you now. No denomination, no leader, no preacher, nobody is going to be able to control you spiritually. Once you know it's freely by grace, through faith, salvation one, or salvation two, or restoration, or anything from God. So the search begins. Five. Point five, you go to your list. You decide what you gotta do. You pick out, you hear this, nah, you hear nah. That one doesn't fit me. I'm not charismatic. Or Boy, that was mine. That's how it is. I love the remote. Amen. Well, this is it, boy, because it's just all intellectual knowledge and study, and that's me. No, that's not. Mine is service. I love to serve and do things for people. Then that's it, see. Or another one, moral righteousness. We studied all of these. Whatever the list is, you get into that group that best fits you because you searched and you found this group and you like their list. That's the way to God. That fits my view of God. In fact, that's point six. Why do you accept what you do? Why do you believe what you do? It's your view of God and your view of Scripture. Why would you accept this list? Why would you accept that it's by ritual or that it is by moral righteousness or knowledge of truth or knowledge of doctrine, really, not necessarily truth, that it is by charismatic experiences, that it is by service of God? Well, because that's your view of God. That should be a script. This is what I see Scripture saying. This is what I view of God. My view of God is that this is what God wants. Point seven, what you believe, get it up here, what you believe is going to affect your life. And this is what I want you to really get into your soul. It's going to affect all of your life now. What you believe is going to affect your life. First of all, it affects your life at the point where you made the decision, and what I mean by that, the decision of what you have to do, your search, for God, your view of God and Scripture, it affects that decision now. Now, point eight. Point eight. Good here. Secondly, it affects what you're going to believe in the future. What you believe guides you in decisions in your life. What you believe influences what you will not believe. So, this is why, if you ever try to witness to a religious person, most difficult person in the world to witness to. The most difficult person to get to see faith is somebody who is so embedded, maybe for all their life or whatever, their family, your grandparents, great-grandparents, handed down, and they're so embedded that they will not believe if you come along and say, let me tell you, all you have to do to be saved is just believe in Jesus Christ. Oh, no, you are wrong. Why are they like that? Because what they have already believed, what they've already accepted as truth, now hinders them from hearing the truth, paying attention, seeing what's going on. Religious people are the most difficult. Why? Because they already got it. It can't be by faith. I've been working for it. It can't be by, if I step, one of the most difficult things, if I step what you're saying, that everything that I've been doing in the church, the rituals, the work, and all, whatever it is, I got to give all that up. If I accept the fact that it's just by faith, and I'm not willing to do that. That old thing of I'm sure all of you have heard the joke, you know, hanging by the mountain, the guy falls off and grabs hold of one little limb, and God says, I'll take you, praise the God. God says, let go, I'll take care of you. I don't know about that. This little limb may not be much, but it's holding me right now. And that's the way people are with their list. With whatever it is they do. So it affects what you're going to believe at that time, but it really affects in the future. It's going to guide you in the decisions in your life, positive in that way, but it's also going to have a negative that is going to influence what you will not believe. No, I do not believe that it is by faith alone. Do not believe that. It's by this work that I do. So that becomes strongly solidified in a person when they go through this process. Now, back to our passage. Why not faith here? Why does man refuse to just believe? Well, we've seen that just faith, first of all, just faith, people, is totally opposed to our natural man. Just to believe, grace, is totally opposed to our natural man. This is why man loves law. In fact, this is why man prefers law to grace. He prefers a merit system where he has a part in it. I get to be part of the equation. I get to be moral. I get to learn. I get to emote. I serve God. I'm part of what God is doing. I don't want this free. I want to know that I've done something. When I go to bed at night, I want to know that I have whatever it is. And it isn't just by faith. It's against our natural man. to just appeal and accept grace through faith. Now, Jesus Christ introduces now another reason why man refuses to disbelieve in Jesus Christ for eternal life, Holy Spirit for restoration, or whatever it might be, and that is this. It is the nature of religion to receive glory or approval from one another. It is the nature of religion to receive glory from one another. Now, let me rephrase that, because this is going to be important in Revelation. It is the nature of any merit system. It is the nature of any merit system to receive glory from one another. When you are under a merit system, where you do something, whatever, pretend, confess, feel sorry, all the way to doing rituals, to joining the church, to all the things that are involved, some kind of merit before man, you receive man's approval. Receive man's approval. And this is part of man's nature. It's part of the whole characteristic of religion to receive glory from man. I'm just so proud of you. You're so good. Let's take our four circles and four ways of work. And we've noted, in fact, we've limited it to three in our triangle, but that's just this morning. First of all, there is the moral righteousness. Well, if we think that's the way to God and that's the way to live in the Christian life, we go to a church where that's the deal because people will think we're really good. Now, some people are just naturally good. They're just naturally a little Boy Fortenoy and just different people through history. They're just good. And they just don't do bad for various reasons. And so they are strongly appealed to this type of a church, this type of a movement, and everybody else is. And so what's the whole merit system? How good you are. And how you don't sin and how you don't do this. Then there is another group that's not their deal. Control, we might say here, well, here's the control of the body. Isn't all that deal? But boy, it's the control of the mind. And so here, they go, and it is the knowledge. And that's my appeal. I'm really into that. And so you look good. You look real good. And this merit system, and you learn more and more. People want to listen when you learn more and more. People want to, when you're moral, or when you learn more, they want to hear what you've got to say. Then there's another group. No, it's not those really. It's the emotional pattern. And you emote. Get that second blessing from God. And then the third and the fourth. And people will listen to you. And you just more, the more you can roll around in the sawdust and kick it in the air, get the second blessing and do all of this stuff, people just, boy, there's a real spiritual one. And another one, no, it's neither of these, it's your life. In other words, service. What do you do for God? Are you out serving, giving money and serving and doing things for people and going to the hospital and going here and going there and doing all of this stuff? That's where it really is. And you're, oh boy, brother so-and-so, sister, they're always the first to do this and they're always ready to serve here. They're always doing this. We love a merit system. We love a merit system. Anyone who doesn't love a merit system are those who know they don't merit. And we thank God for His grace. As long as you are good in your merit system, grace isn't all that great. But when you know you're not good here, you're not good here, you're not good here, you're not good here, then you say, boy, if it's not by grace, I'm dead. If it's not by grace, I'm damned. If it's not by something simple as faith that depends totally on the work of God, see, then you're ready for faith. Then you're ready for grace. So what we have going on in our passage is they want this merit system. They want to receive glory. They want to receive glory from one another. Now, which of these are in our context? Look back. You study the scriptures. You diligently study the scriptures, the mind. And they think the more doctrine they learn, the more the scriptures they learn, all of this type of thing, then they're going to get eternal life just by that knowledge. No, you're not going to get it by knowledge. That's what the passage is about. In fact, if you truly understood the scriptures, it would have led to you. We're going to see in Revelation. You could study scripture, Greek, Hebrew, and never know his name. Never know his name. You can study Scripture and never know what the Word of God is in Scripture. What is the Word of God in Scripture? And you can study it till you're blue in the face and never know. That's the Jews, and that's a lot of Christians today and a lot of people today. And during the tribulation, this is going to be the condition. And then there are others that know it's this, know it's that, and you receive glory. You've got a merit system. You're going to study two kingdoms, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. The system of the kingdom of darkness, merit system. Satan loves a merit system. Why does Satan love a merit system? Why does Satan love law? Because he knows you can't keep it, and he's always going to keep you in guilt and shame and trying to work hard. He's always got you under control that way. And then there is the kingdom of life, and what's the system there? Grace. Just receive it by faith. And that's the one that God operates under. So we're going to be noting all of this. This is one reason why people prefer law to grace. They can find approval from one another as they keep the law. I have this whole marriage system. This is why people are not that big on what, when you truly start understanding what spiritual love is, not really great on that, because no marriage system in spiritual love. Spiritual love may make you look very weak. Who wants to be down on the floor washing everybody else's feet? We want to be the ones whose feet are being washed. So we don't like that system. We don't like a system of spiritual love that might make you look weak, might make you look shameful, might make you look foolish. Who looks foolish? Person that forgives 7 times in one day. Person who forgives 70 times 7. Who looks foolish? Jesus Christ hanging on the cross. Who wants that kind of system? We want a system that makes us look good, a merit system. See, but under spiritual love, there is no merit system in spiritual love. There is no merit system in faith. That's why it's the faith, people. There is no merit in faith. There is no merit in faith. Even in repentance, there's merit. Even in confession, there's merit. That's why you have this whole thing. Stop denying, acknowledge. Stop doing this, repent. There's a merit there. But that's to bring you to faith. And that's not why we're saved. We're going to be saved by a non-meritorious system with no merit. That's what that means. No merit to you. No merit system. But we want this approval from one another. So approval by a merit system, not approval by the work of God. Not approval just because we belong to Him. Now what is Jesus Christ pointing out here? Religious people, and today many are believers, seek the approval from one another. And when you desire man's approval, people, you've rendered yourself incapable of this faith. This is one of the studies of Job. What happened to Job? Please think about the day before things started happening in Job's life. What were things like to that day before? That day before, Job and his 3 friends were uptight. They were close. They all had the same merit system. If you do good, God will bless you. If you do bad, God will take it away. Job was right there. They were for him. That's why they were friends. They were like-minded. And then something started happening to Job. It's not a merit system, Job. It's a faith system. Well, then his 3 friends just came down on him hard. Came down on him hard. You mean you're getting out of this system? Boy, you are really wrong, Job. You are not only have you sinned in a big way, you're cracking up. You really don't even understand what's going on anymore. So you render yourself incapable of just faith when you want to impress others and receive their approval, receive their glory. How can you believe when you receive glory from one another? And in so doing, you do not seek, in so receiving the glory from one another, you do not seek the glory that is from the one and only God. This is powerful, people. If you decide you're going to receive glory from one another, then you're not going to seek the glory from God. And let me tell you a little secret here. You think you're receiving the glory from God. You think that you're receiving God's glory. Especially if I'm in this church, that any of these 4 churches, if I'm in the church that has control over the body as the way to God, or the way of the control of the mind of God, or emotion, or life. And everybody is approving of you. You think that's of God. See how wonderful I am? See how everybody thinks I'm wonderful? People, when you do faith, we don't think we're wonderful. We think God's wonderful. You get it? Somebody said, I'm saved by grace through faith. It's not that you're wonderful. We're happy that you believe in Christ as Savior. Make no doubt about that. We rejoice. But you're not wonderful. That just directs us to heart. God is so wonderful. Saved a bum like you. Okay? But we're not wonderful. I'm restored from sin. How? Simply by faith. We don't think you're wonderful. We know what you are. You're a sinner. Just like we are. What does it cause us to do? How wonderful is He that He restores us from our sins as Christians? Wow. We don't say, oh, wow, you did this or you did that. Man, you're wonderful. We don't do that, do we? We say, no, we're all sinners, aren't we? Thank God He's got this system of this grace. We praise Him. But under a merit system, you get some recognition. You get a little recognition because you're just so morally righteous. You wouldn't even crosswalk in the middle of the block. And the whole group does it, you're going to walk down to the light because you're just so good. Now, don't go too far with that and come up, well, that's law and all of that, using a silly example. But you're learning knowledge. Oh, you're just so wonderful because you know so much. You're serving, you're emoting. Oh, man, I just watch you and I just wish I could praise the Lord the way you do. Or you're light service. Man, you just do this, you do that, you're always serving, you're always going, that is just so wonderful. It's a merit system. You get some merit. And you think you're getting praise from God, therefore you don't need this praise from God. Which comes simply by trusting Him. Now, right up front, this is similar to what we studied in verse 39 to 40. Because they believe that they will receive eternal life, studying the Scriptures, therefore they're unwilling to come to Jesus Christ for eternal life. Here, since they receive glory from one another, they do not need or seek the glory from God. The same kind of principle. Also, they think that since they receive glory from one another, they're receiving it from God, which is not the case. All right, let's look at our passage. How can you believe, if you can, when you receive glory from one another and do not, and in so doing, you do not seek the glory that is from the one and only God? Now, the Greek word to receive is really pertinent in the whole passage here. See where it says, you do not, how can you believe when you receive glory from one another? Okay? Let's take a look at this now. The Greek word to receive, very important. Look at verse 41. I, Jesus Christ, do not receive glory. Verse 43, you do not receive me. The Antichrist, that one you will receive. Now we have it again. How can you believe when or while you are receiving glory from one another? And the reason I translated while participle is because in the Greek it's a present active participle. How can you believe? That's an aorist tense. The aorist tense, point in time. Boom. How can you believe in Jesus Christ and be saved? Faith in Christ, salvation one. While receiving glory from one another, present active participle. So while you're in this momentum of receiving glory from one another, how can you make a decision in the midst of that to believe in Jesus Christ, to come to just Jesus Christ and be saved? They're in the process of receiving their glory. They don't need it from anyone else, people. They don't need it from anyone else. They're receiving it from that one. There's just so many base ways of illustrating what's going on here, but, you know, if a husband and wife, they love each other, and they receive from each other sexual enjoyment, soul fulfillment, all the things are there. Why do you not receive glory or something from some other woman or some other man? I'm receiving from my husband and wife very adequately. Why so often are there failures in marriage? Because you're not receiving it. Either it's not given or you're not receiving, one or the other. So you go where you can receive it. Wrongly, I'm not saying it's right. But that's the deal going on here. If you're going along and you're just receiving glory from man, and you're just so happy with it. I might even go to the negative of my little example. Let's say you're involved with the wrong man or the wrong woman, and they're staying with the right one, the one that can be a great help to you in life and a helpmate. Say no to her or him, because you're over here enjoying this deception world. So you're not going to receive. You're not even going to pay attention. You're getting everything you want over there. That's what we have going on here. You're over here receiving glory from man. How are you going to receive glory from Jesus Christ? You're not. You don't need it. And you think you're receiving it anyway from God. You think over here you're getting all the joy and pleasure you need in life. No, you're not. You think you are. You think your life, money, pleasure, people, whatever it is, one person, whatever, is what you need. So this one over here, that's the true one, forget it. You don't need them. That's what he's saying here. You're in the process of receiving glory from man and doing for man. You're under that merit system, and everything's going well for you. How can you come to a saving faith in Jesus Christ? You're simply not going to do it. So present active participle, they're in the process of receiving glory from man. Therefore, they're not going to make a aorist tense decision to believe in Jesus Christ. Now, let's move, we have time, let's move to what threw us off in verse 41 and 42. What threw us off there? Note what Jesus Christ says there, because this is important. How this, I want you to see how the verses put the passages placed together. Look carefully with me now. I do not receive, I, Jesus Christ, do not receive glory from men, but I know you, and this is what we really expected you to do, but he says that you do not have the love of God in you. Now, he throws in the love of God. Now in verse 44, we have what we expected in 42, you receive glory from one another. Why does Jesus Christ make an issue out of love when he says, but you do not have the love of God in you? Why did he do that? All right here. Love. Divine love, spiritual love, does not use one another, does not seek glory from one another. It doesn't use people that way. What spiritual love does, it loves one another. So they do not have the love of God, and since they do not have that love, they use one another. They seek one another's glory. So you see how he did that now? If you don't, let me know. I'm trying to communicate the passage. This is not a verse-by-verse intensity here. This is a passage understanding. Same thing we're going to do in the book of Revelation. You're going to understand the structure so that you're, or the scope so that you'll understand what's going on. How can we understand the words and things in Revelation if we don't even understand the whole structure of such a book? You can understand the structure here. So up here, it talks about how he does not receive glory. So he does not receive glory. And they do not, what they do, then he says, I know you that you do not have love. Then down here, he says, you seek glory, so we'll put here seek, glory from one another. Now what's going on? Okay, they do not have the love of God. If they had that love, then they would just seek God's love. But since they do not have that love, now this is, brings us to here. How do you put, I do not seek the glory of man, but I know you do seek the glory of man, then it wouldn't have, we wouldn't have seen how important love is here. But what love does is, if I have this love of God, spiritual love for us, if I have this love, then I don't seek glory from man. Don't seek glory from man. You've got the love of God in you. So then he comes down and says, you do seek glory from man because you do not have that love. Why does a person seek glory from one another? Because they don't have the love of God. Let me make that base for you. Why do we seek love and over here with the wrong person when we're married? Because we're not getting here. Either because it's not given or we're not receiving it. One or the other. Not saying it's the other person's fault. Just don't overreact to me. Just say what I'm saying. So what he's saying here is, I do not receive glory, but you do not have that love. If you had that love, you wouldn't be out here looking for glory somewhere else. But you do look for glory from someone else, and therefore you can't believe. You're not going to believe. So you're in this vicious circle here. And since you're not going to get this, you're not getting this love here, then you're going to go seek it through the merit system from somewhere else, and then you're never going to come to faith. It's just a vicious circle. And I try to make it clear as I can in a base way, and I know it's base. But why does the husband look for an extramarital affair? Not getting the love at all. Getting the love at home, he doesn't need it. That's why he brought up love first. Now, is it communicated to us? Go through it again, or do we got it? Hello? Got it. Okay. We got it. Go on. Okay. So, but I just wanted you to understand what's going on in the flow of the passage, people. Not just a word-by-word type of thing. We can't understand the words if we don't understand the structure. We don't understand what it's doing. That helps us then to understand the words. This has become very important in Revelation. I want you to see the whole structure and the scope here that's going on. Then we can go back and plug in what the various words mean and how they function. So if I do not have the love, I seek the glory from one another. Seeking the glory from one another, I'm not going to believe. Because I don't need to believe. I already have what is enough. Okay, let's know some things now. First, how can you believe? The unbeliever will never believe in Jesus Christ, nor will the believer live by faith in the Holy Spirit as long as you seek glory from one another. See, both groups. You will not live by faith if you're seeking glory from one another. Now the next phrase, when you receive glory from one another. How do we seek glory from one another? How do we seek glory from one another? This one's easy. How do you seek glory from one another? Find out what their performance system is. Right? I mean, let me be silly about it. You want, use the word glory, if I can use it this way. I want to receive glory from all these people who are in the cameras and pictures and all of that. So what I'm going to do is go buy a camera. Go buy me a Brownie camera, take me a little course in school, then I'm going to buy another better camera, then I'm going to get in there, and they're going to say, boy, you're getting really good at taking pictures. That's a really good picture. These aren't too good, but that one shows potential. Oh, we grab hold of that little stuff, don't we? Boy, now you're getting it. You want their approval. I see this all the time in the gym. You want approval of the other guys in the gym. I don't know what girls are doing, but guys in the gym, well, you know, develop your pecs. Develop your biceps. Now, how often, I have fun with some of the guys when they do come over and talk to me about the different exercises and programs. How often do you use your chest muscles at work? What do you do for work? Well, I work at a computer. I work at a desk. How often do you use your biceps? Well, you know, how often do you use your legs? Because most of these bigger, they don't work the legs too much. I'm just a big preacher on importance of. You know, they're hard to develop. Some of them never develop, but we use them all day long when we're away. But, boy, I want to develop that with shows. I want approval. I want to look good from other people and girls, guys. I want their approval. How do you get their approval? Well, go in there and work out 4 or 5 hours every day. Get them pecs big. Get some big biceps. And you'll get their approval. Merit system. Silly examples. That's because it's spiritual. Whatever your deal is. Moral righteousness, knowledge of doctrine, emotional experience, charismatic experience, service of life. How do you get man's approval? Some merit system. Find the merit system that you like and become good at it and you'll get glory from man. And people, it is so difficult to walk away from the glory of man. Once you've got their glory, it is just virtually impossible to walk away from their glory. You have to make them unbelievable. Something really precious has to die. As we saw in the crisis of faith. And you just don't want that to die. Job went through unbelievable things. Unbelievable journey. And he lost the approval of his 3 best friends. He lost their approval. Not only did he lose their approval, he gained their chastisement, their judgment. They started attacking him. From best friend praising him because he was the best. He was the best. To judging him, kissing him. Why do you crush me with your, why do you crush my soul with your words? You got off of their merit system. You get off of the merit system, and you're going to be attacked. And that, why do I want to go through that? So you've got it, that merit system. So point one, very important there. Or as I said, when you receive glory from one another, how do we receive glory from one another? Anytime you're in a performance system, you receive glory from one another, not from God. You have your list. You have the law. Then you try hard to do it and do it perfectly. Do it better. Do it more and more. How wonderful you are. And you keep doing it. What did Isaiah 28 say? Give faith to those who are weary. Remember that? We don't have to turn there, I hope. To those who are weary. Why are they weary? They've been working so hard in the merit system of law. Do and do, do and do. Rule on rule, rule on rule. Little here and little there. Different systems pick out a little here and a little there to prove their point in the Bible. And I want their approval. You're never going to come to faith until you get broken. As we have seen, the worst thing that can happen to you when you're on a performance system is to be very good at it. Then, if you're not good at it, then you start realizing, well, this isn't working. This isn't working. So, something else has to kick in. Man, unbeliever, believer, seeking approval of one another. Let's go through a couple of things in closing. One, Peter. Take a look at Peter. Peter left grace through faith. Why did he do that? Out of fear of the believers from Jerusalem. Remember that in Galatians? People, Peter saw it. He saw it before Paul. He saw it before hardly anybody. Peter was saying, take the Jerusalem council, different places. Peter saw it. What happened to Peter? He withdrew from it. He left it. Why? Because he feared the loss of the approval of James, who was the leader in Jerusalem. And remember he sent those people to Antioch? He sent some of the spies to Antioch to find out what was going on. Oh, Christians are horrible. They didn't come for fellowship. They came to spy. And they came to spy. And Peter was intimidated. And Peter went straight to teaching the law. As soon as he saw him, he got up and walked away from the Gentiles he was sitting with. He was sitting with those scummy, dirty dogs, Gentiles, who had come to know Christ by faith, had a wonderful fellowship with them. He looked up and he saw coming in the door. You remember we studied all this. There's the crew from James in Jerusalem. He got up and walked away. Started telling them they had to go to the law. Why did Peter do that? Approval of man. I want approval of man. Seeking glory from them, Peter departed from walking by faith. How can you believe when you want glory from man? Peter, how can you sit there and continue to do faith when you want their glory? They're the big shots from Jerusalem. They're the people who count, aren't they? They count more than I, God, do. You can't believe in me. You can't walk by faith, Peter, as long as you want glory from man. Secondly, Galatians, we saw this in Galatians 5:15. Biting and devouring one another. Why were they biting and devouring one another? Seeking glory from one another. Merit system. Who's doing the law better? You know, I saw you sin the other day. Oh, yeah, well, let me tell you about you. And they start biting and devouring. When you walk by faith, you don't do all that stuff. You don't get into biting and devouring. Three, Galatians 5:26, boasting. Challenging one another. Why do we boast? Why do we boast? Why do we challenge one another in various ways in life? Why do we do those things talked about, merit system? Glory from one another. People, this is why love does not boast is so important. In 1 Corinthians 15, it is the characteristic of the love that the Holy Spirit will pour through you if you will walk by faith in Him, and it is so important that this love does not boast. Because God doesn't need glory from man. You know, best kind of marriage? Best kind of marriage is when you're loved, period. You're not always looking for their approval. You're not always looking for their praise. You're not always looking for, you're loved and you know it. These other things are fine and other things, but you know you're loved. I love the family I was reared in. I don't know where mother learned it. But, you know, my brother and I were just, I did a lot of things outside of home. I mean, just lots of stuff. I'm not bragging, I had fun in high school. I had a lot of fun. President of my class, at our football team, all kinds of stuff. I didn't care. Take out the garbage. Hey, what do you mean take out the garbage? I'm president of my class. I don't care what you are. You're at this house, you're part of this household, you take out the trash. You're loved here. Not because of what you do or don't do outside. Now, that doesn't mean she wasn't proud and happy, but in that home, I could have been nothing outside and still loved. Been anything I still loved. Doesn't matter. But when you need approval, when you need to always perform, it's a horrible way to have to live your life. And love, this kind of love, spiritual love, doesn't boast. It doesn't have to boast, people. It doesn't have to boast. It doesn't need it. It doesn't need it to be loved or to love. Some people, I want you to love me, so I want you to know how wonderful I am. And they got to boast. No. If you're going to love me, you're going to love me. If you're loved because you're on a merit system, think on one thing. It will be broken. You will be hated because one day you're going to fail. They'll see your clay feet. If it's a performance system love, you're just headed for trouble. But if it's love based on the spirit, there's no boasting involved in it. All right, four. One more point here. If we leave the glory of God to receive the glory from man. If we leave the glory of God to receive the glory from man. This glory from man is no glory at all. It's deception. It's deception. Why? Because man has no glory to give. Man has no glory. So if you leave the glory that is given by God to receive the glory that is given by man, there is no glory. It's deception. Please turn to Jeremiah chapter 2. Jeremiah chapter 2. Okay, Jeremiah chapter 2. Just read a couple of verses here. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 11. Has a nation changed gods when they were not gods at all? Now, just to let you know, this first phrase deals with the first universe, the rebellion among the angels. Then it says, but my people, those he has called, those we are studying right now in John 5, and in principle, believers of the church. But my people have changed their glory for that which does not profit. The only glory that profits us is that which comes through from God, the glory that comes through the love of Jesus Christ shining through us. But my people have changed their glory. Their glory was God for that which does not profit. This is what Revelation 2 is going to mean. You've left your first love. And this is the concept here. You've changed from their glory that was of God for that which is, does not profit, does not have glory. Now, how do we change glory? God himself tells us in verse 2. How do we change? How do we change glory? Verse 2 or verse 12? Oh, excuse me, verse 2 here. No, verse 12, I got it. I'm sorry. The next two verses he tells us. Be appalled, O heavens, at this. Now, heavens are the angels. Be appalled, O heavens, at this, and shudder. Be very desolate, declares the Lord. Okay, no, God speaks to the angels here. The issue is before the angels, to the eyes that will see. This is a spiritual warfare going on. The angels are watching us. Now, verse 13. For my people have committed two evils. Wow. Let's see what the two evils are. This is crucial to our daily life. Two evils. First evil, they have forgotten me, the fountain of living waters. Fountain of living waters, one title of the Holy Spirit. So how do we forsake him? We forsake him by forgetting. We forsake him by not trusting, by not walking in faith. We just stop trusting. Goes in Galatians 1:6, I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel. Could happen that quickly. That quickly. I'm going to come back to you in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. I'm going to have to come back to you, and I'll show you some things about this passage and that passage in dealing with Israel. Okay. So the first evil, we stop trusting him. My people have committed two evils. First evil, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. How do we forsake him? We stop trusting him. So what's the first step in seeking glory from one another? Stop trusting God. That's what Peter did. That's what they're doing here. Now the second evil. When we depart from him, when we stop trusting him, what happens? We have to go somewhere else for glory. So let's look at the second one now. To hew for themselves systems, broken systems, that can hold no water, no glory. No glory in idolatry. So the first thing that man does, people, is what? We stop trusting him. You stop trusting him, and what do? You go somewhere else. You've got to have a substitute. So what do they do? They go make for themselves. That's what it says here. They go and cut out for themselves. That's idolatry. They go into all of this, and they make up all of their own glory. First thing you have to do is stop trusting. Two evils. I just want you to grasp what's going on here. So I go to base things to communicate so we understand the spiritual. Why would a husband or wife get involved in extramarital affairs? Two evils. First evil, stop loving at home. Either stop receiving it, stop giving it, whatever. Secondly, go look for it somewhere else. That's how it puts the process. And what you manufacture for yourself may look great at the time, but it's empty. Look what it says. I love this. It cannot hold water. It can hold no water. It's got holes all in it. Idolatry has holes all in it. Trying to seek glory for man has holes all in it. And one of the biggest holes is man has no glory to give you. So you're going to go seek it. Seeking it to evil. First evil, it's not by faith. You stop trusting. You're a believer. No, it's restored from sin, but it's not by faith. So what are you going to do? If it's not by faith, you stop trusting, then you're ready. I've got to go find it somewhere. And so you go to something that controls you. Some merit system, some kind of work, some kind of program, something that holds no water. Man-centered. Has no glory. Has no power. And that's what you take up for yourselves. Okay, this world will close, and we'll start here next Sunday morning. We've got a five Sunday month, so we'll have another Sunday